Steve Williams.
Here.
Howard Anderson. James Turner.
Here.
Jake Zinko. Bob Bailey. Nancy Carville. Tim Morgan. Ted Thompson. Jason Stevens. Deanna Holliday. Patrick Lighting.
Here.
Bill Deacons. Terry Porter. Ralph Klein.
Here.
Kenneth Atkins.
Here.
Robert Paisley.
Here.
Don Bias.
Here.
Shane Dillon. Paul Davis.
Present.
Steve Stola.
Present.
Alex Vanderpool. Stephen Gilmore. Randy Wheeler.
Here.
Michael Grazy.
Here.
Robert Carpenter.
Here.
William Hopkins. Phil Biggs. Ron Field.
Here.
Here.
Andy Skidmore. Joe Callahan.
Here.
Matt Mann.
And I believe that's the time for so we can we continue. You have been sent to you, and hopefully you have in your packet the minutes from our previous meeting of February 23rd, 2018. I'm going to make a motion to adopt approval of the minutes as presented. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
We can probably move to second. The minutes to be approved February 23rd, 2018. Any other discussion on the minutes? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No. Item number four on our agenda, presentation of fiscal year 2017 audit report. Bruce Sullivan, Sullivan Wins, here.
Thank you. What I'll do is I'll go through this rather briefly, call to your attention what I believe to be the most important parts of the report. I'll ask you questions at any time as I go through this. This is the independent auditor's report on the financial statements for the year ended June 30, 2017. Even though Sullivan Webb may have assisted in compiling these financial statements into their present financial statement format, the information therein is still representation and responsibility of management of the organization. There are basically three types of auditor's report. An adverse report, which says that the financial statements do not present fairly, and that's not the case with this. There's a qualified report, which says that the financial statements present fairly except for, and then we are required to enumerate the exception as to why the financial statements do not present fairly. And then there's the highest level of report, which is an unqualified report, which basically says that the financial statements present fairly in all material respects to the financial results of operation of the entity as of the closing date of business, June 30th. That's exactly what this report is. It's an unqualified report, so it is the highest level that you could have. Looking at the statement of activities, or what we used to refer to as the statement of revenues and expenses, for the year ended June 30, 2017, the income was about $102,000, comparing that to 2016. Basically, that increase was because of an $89,000 increase in federal grants and then some other increases in state grants. Noting that the income is up $102,000 for the year, the expenses went up $131,000 for the year. So for 2017, you had an excess of expense over revenue of $8,353. So the question begs, if we had an excess of expense over revenue, where did the excess? It came from your fund balance, or what was left from the prior year. That being 45,226 fund balance carrying over from 2016 to 2017 after absorbing the over expenditure of $8,353, we ended up with an ending fund balance of $36,873. The notes to the financial statement, I will not go through those in detail. I'll leave those for your personal reading enjoyment later on. Having told you that the auditor's report on the financial statements is unqualified, we move now to the independent auditor's report on internal control over financial reporting, compliance, and other matters. That report on page 35 is what we refer to as an unqualified report. Again, there are no findings in that report. Had there been any findings, then we would have been required to report that. The most important part of that report is on page 36. The last sentence of that top paragraph states that the results of our test disclosed no instances of noncompliance and other matters that are required to be reported under government auditing standards. Government auditing standards is what dictates the reporting for the auditor. The next section on page 37 is the independent auditor's report on compliance for major purposes and internal control over compliance required on those programs and purposes of uniform guidance. Page 38, again, that report is plain. There are no findings for that. What this is this. You have to spend money in excess of $500,000 of federal money, it brings you to another level of testing and reporting, which we have to do. The most important sentence on that page is next to the last paragraph at the bottom of the page. It says, not identify any deficiencies in internal control over compliance that we consider to be material weaknesses. Material weaknesses is a defined term, which is a greater weakness than significant. But in this report, no material weaknesses, no significant deficiencies. Now, if you wanted to just have a summary of all that, look on page 40, and it would basically tell you everything that I have told you. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you might have. All three letters are qualified, no findings.
So would you say this is one of the best ones that you get to adopt after your
Yes, I mean, I don't like to do anything that's messy. I mean, you know, frankly, when you have findings, it creates more time, increases the cost. So if you don't have any findings, the cost is less. And I know everybody complains about how expensive it's getting, and it is. There's more governmental requirements now. Pension liabilities has just run the time up significantly here in the last 5 years that we have to spend more time on. Anything else?
I don't know, that's the page that I always go to when we get our audit to see what the opinion was. And I guess this opinion is a result of a great staff here, a great leadership, and those that have retired and gone on, those are still here. That was the fiscal year 17 year, and we certainly appreciate it. Leadership. I think we need to give them a little round of applause. I've been on the other end of some units that I've dealt with, and it's not fun. This is great. Number five, the tax report, Patrick.
I'll say, I'll give you a real quick report of what we did. We didn't have Bob Evans Catering, but we did have donuts from the Donut Connection. And, I think those were all successfully eaten, so that all went well. We did update we had the study updates that the consultants call in. We had a brief time for that. There was some actions that were required from the tax. Those things are being brought today to the policy board. The fiscal year 18-21 PIP, that was moved forward, so the action will be taken today. Also, the work program for the urbanized area for West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio was brought forth today. It will be brought forth today, too, also. Also, the PMA umbrella, memorandum of understanding, so I believe those are ready to go, be approved at all by the policy board. And also on the planning agreements for West Virginia Department of Highways, Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, and ODOT. So those things are being brought forward today. I'm going to jump ahead real quick to 12 in the agenda for Lawrence County, since I got run off real quick. Some of the projects that we're working on, we've completed the County Road 1 landslide, and we're about halfway done with County Road 4 landslide project. The Salt of the Road project, which is the first roundabout in the Iowa area, we're at stage one plans being submitted for the design build portion of it. We had preliminary engineering through this phase. So the stage one has been provided about a week ago, so we're reviewing that right now and trying to get it ready for stage two so that the plans can, or the constructions can go forth this summer, and that project is to be completed by December the 31st of this year. Also, US 52 and 243, that is a justification study or a feasibility study for what kind of improvements to do at the State Route 243 at the US 52 there in Ohio. And during the project of feasibility study, it was looked at to do a no build or signalization or roundabouts. And during the course of the project, it looked at the no build and something needed to be done there. So the next step was to go with signalization. And originally it was not warranted. We went with the roundabout to look at that and try to submit for an IOS for an interchange operations study so we could get approval to go forth with that. In the meantime, they've kind of lacked some of those requirements on the warrant, so signals are required or warranted now. So we'll see what all transpires from here. So we're just trying to finish that project up and hopefully have a project where we can go design to them. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And at the end, we have revision resolution 2018-015. It's on this color paper in your packet. It amends to include new projects and update current ones. That was also sent out to us.
Make a motion.
I have a motion to adopt the resolution. Is there a second? And I have a second to adopt the resolution. Any further discussion on this resolution 2018-015? Not all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It is approved. Fire B, transit system status update from Huntington, West Virginia, Ohio, urbanized area. Paul Davis.
Oh, okay. Just a little. I've been in 30 years, so a little bit. I should have done now anyway. Out of school, hard knocks. Anyway, we had a very exciting week this week, and we introduced four new buses to the tri-state area, and a tune of $405,000 apiece. We had a really nice ceremony at Pullman Square in downtown Huntington. And we had several very good speakers. And our friend Mayor Steve Williams was supposed to be one of our speakers, but he kind of came in late off a plane, and he sent Brian Chambers. And then, by the way, Brian did a nice job in your stead. Chris Childs was one of our speakers, and so was Mike Browning. So we had a very nice ceremony. These buses will be on the road in about 2 weeks. We still have to do some things to them, and we have a new paint scheme, and it's really modernizes the system. It really looks, and we like to say down there, if Vicky was still there, she would be saying they were sexy. But that's probably all we have. I know that they had our transit study was coming up. It's probably on the agenda for discussion. But that's about all we have from TTA. We really appreciate the help that Cahoba and the state of West Virginia, because these funds that we used to purchase these buses were actually, it's $1.6 million, $1.2 million federal, and these were funds from the sub-allocated funds, which I know Chris is probably going to talk a little bit about later. But it took the TMA so that we had the ability to buy these vehicles. So we're really excited about them being on the road for about 15 years. So.
And
feel free to direct them to our YouTube page, and they can watch all the video presentations to get, you know, educate themselves about what the process is and what the progress is. So to get to our YouTube channel, you can go to our website, coyoteibc.org, and that's what we've got pulled up on the TV here. So right there at the top of it, you've got YouTube. Check out our new YouTube channel. So you just click on the YouTube logo. Takes you right to it. I'm going to have Paul just, we wanted to take about 30, 45 seconds so you guys can see what exactly it looks like when you go to it up.
Hi. Chris, Commissioner Holliday from Lawrence County. Can you email the link to us as well, please?
Yes, I will. Most notably, Leach Air has started service and employment's been more than doubled since the last study. As a result, Cuyahoga Interstate Planning Commission felt it was worthwhile to conduct a new economic impact study that would quantify the jobs, payroll, and output attributed to the airport. The information from this study can be used to help educate stakeholders, local decision makers, politicians, and others in an effort to help support additional infrastructure investment out of the airport. Before I get to the results of the study,
so we'll pause it there. We'll make you watch the whole 5 minutes right now, just so you guys see an idea of what a jackass can look like. So we'll do that for future projects, for, you know, every meeting. So you'll have just a running list on our YouTube of different presentations throughout the progress. So we're really excited about that. We think it's going to help with public outreach, public participation, because anyone, the general public, so anyone can go and watch those videos and learn about the progress of our study. So we're really excited about that thought. I'd love to take credit for that, but really that was initial from Chandra and the talk with board too, and just getting some other ideas and how to put that all together. The last thing, and I should say, we're open to suggestions. So if anyone has any other thoughts or ideas, please let me know, talk it over, let us know what y'all like, what you don't like, and we'll do the best we can to incorporate it and find that balance between your all time and getting all the information that we can to you. And then, so we have a case study presentation at a future meeting. So I just like to mention that because we've had some recognition from some of our federal partners about just all the great work and the difficulty at the same time that Cuyahoga has between, you know, we serve three states, three federal highway administration offices, three departments of transportation, three different EPA regions, three different FTA regions, three different local forms of government. So we just, you know, we always take every opportunity we can to try to remind you all of how we like to think of it as fortunate we already have that variety of diversity. But we'll be giving some future presentations at upcoming conferences. So with that, the next item on the agenda, update on Cuyahoga Transportation Studies. So you won't hear my spiel at the meeting on the YouTube video. But this will just be the point in the agenda where all the consultants are on the phone. So if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask. If not, Mr. Chairman, we'll move on to the next agenda item. I will just mention briefly, when you see it highlighted, final board meeting, what that means is that study is wrapping up. So those studies will conclude June 30th of this year, the end of the fiscal year. So as it stands now, this will be the last board meeting we have scheduled for those consultants. So obviously, if you want to ask them questions, once we leave here, let us know. We'll connect you. That's not a problem. But as far as board meeting opportunities to ask questions of the consultants, for those that are highlighted in yellow, this will probably be your last chance.
Any questions about the new process? I think it's going to work. I think it's working well. We can look at it at our convenience. And I would like to do something to save some trees. We always kill a bunch of trees for these meetings. And I think if we can get where we're not doing that so much, I think we'd be better off too. This one start us on that path. Number eight, presentation of final fiscal year 2019 Unified Planning Work Program and budget documents. That's in your packet and this is it.
Yes, sir.
I know you've read that. So we're going to get a quiz. Now, you want to talk about that?
So this is the that's our Bible from fiscal year to fiscal year around here for staff. The Unified Planning Work Program, or as we affectionately call it, UPWP. So this is
just, you know, as we do our planning documents, we've got sort of short-term, medium-term, long-term planning that we do. This work program, this is our short-term plan. This tells us, this dictates everything for the next fiscal year, what we're going to do. The projects that we're funding, our budgets, everything is in this document. Celine refers to this almost on a daily basis. I know I have to refer to it on a weekly basis. So this just lays out everything for the coming fiscal year, which begins July 1, 2018. We had approved, at the last meeting, we approved the draft version. So we sent that off to all of our state and federal partners, and it gave it an opportunity to provide comments, which we've incorporated into this document. So this would be the final version.
Is there a motion to adopt the final version of the fiscal year 2019 Unified Planning Work Program? Been moved.
Seconded.
Any further discussion?
Aye.
It's approved. Number 9, Kyle with sub-allocated funds. Application update, Chris Child, Executive Director.
This sheet right here, this is one of my favorite parts about working at Cuyahoga. As you all know, and after the 2010 census, the tri-state area was found to have over 200,000 people in the metropolitan area. So we got bumped up into a new designation as a transportation management area, or TMA for short. Why that's important is because with that new designation comes sub-allocated funds that flow directly through Cuyahoga and through the local process. So these are, you know, we have our own grant application process that cities and counties and municipalities and townships can apply to us for grant funds instead of applying to the State Department of Transportation. So I love that I got to come in, you know, Michelle and Salim and the whole entire staff, all their hard work getting the TMA status, and I get to come in and take advantage of all the fruits of their labor. So this is by far my favorite part of this job, because we get to, you know, help fund a lot of these great projects. So then in this list, we've got all the projects that we've accepted for our applications. So a little description, project type, funds requested, so federal, that's from Cuyahoga, the non-federal match, and the total project cost. So I will just mention that they're color-coded, West Virginia, blue Kentucky, and then red is Ohio. I will just mention the ones for Ohio, they have already been funded and approved. I just want to make sure we include those on there so our Ohio friends didn't feel left out when they looked at it. Wanted them to know that we are, you know, still continuing to put money towards Ohio, just that money has already been allocated. I just wanted a motion from the board to approve all these applications.
Is there a motion to approve?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Been approved. Cuyahoga Transportation Management Area Umbrella MOU, Chris Giles. That is good.
So I think I mentioned before that we cover three states, right? Three departments of transportation and three federal highways, and I forgot the three transit agencies in addition to the three FTA regions and three EPA regions. So at our last TMA certification review, one of the findings on that review was that we had all these individual MOUs and MOAs and all these different agreements with all the different agencies, but there was not one all-encompassing umbrella MOU that included all of those individual agreements. In addition to Cuyahoga, if you all remember, part of the TMA boundary extends into Putnam County. Just a little finger into Putnam County, into the hurricane area. So our friends in Charleston, the MPO in Charleston, takes care of the planning for that portion. So in addition to all of Cuyahoga's agreements between Federal Highway and State Departments of Transportation and TTA and West Virginia DEP and EPA and all those, our friends in Charleston, RIC, they have a regional intergovernmental council. They have their own, several of their own agreements also. So we needed one big umbrella MOU that included all those, and that's what this is. So the decision was made that we would have just a few pages that covered the big umbrella MOU, and then all of the individual MOUs would just be attachment to that. So if one agreement between West Virginia and TPA, an attachment to this. We don't have to go through the process of getting redoing this whole thing and get signatures for everyone. You know, if you look at the back few pages, some of the signature pages on here are all the state secretaries for departments of transportation and others. Austin Cape was in the secretary for what community DEP, for example. So you can imagine the nightmare that's going to be involved in getting all these signature pages done. We don't want to have to update that every time we have to bring it in place. Just as an example of sort of the process involved, I will just show you. This is just from the last 2 days. You guys can see all my handwritten notes on our two sort of master list of agreements and our original rough draft here, the attachments. This is literally just from yesterday. So you can imagine all the blue ink and ready to respond to this process. So where's Terry? So Terry on our staff has headed that up in coordination with Chandra and Chris and Perry and Brian, everyone else, and all of our state and federal partners. But just to give you an idea of the time and the attention to detail that's gone into this, this is just from 2 days.
There's a motion to approve the memorandum of understanding as explained by our director.
Move
to second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 It is
approved. Number 11, presentation performance planning agreements. Chris, Kyle, again, for three different things. Are we going to vote on them one at a time or all three at once?
We're going to do them all. One motion for all of them, but it's...
Have you explained?
Yes, that's your pleasure.
I've asked him to bring some to the Reader Digest version so we can understand it in English, so I hope that's what he's done. So.
Well, I should start off by saying that, as I was just describing this umbrella MOU, and said it includes all the individual memorandum of understanding, you know, the individual agencies, so... All these here are examples that we're about to approve. These are individual agreements between Kiowa and individual states or other agencies. So these all are a part of this umbrella MOU, just to kind of try to put it into some context. So the first one we have is between West Virginia DOT, Kiowa, and TTA. These are, you know, again, laid out, you know, these are state and federal requirements to have these agreements in place. So we work with our state and our state partners and TTA getting these established. So the first one, so we've got one between Kiowa and West Virginia, Kiowa and Ohio, Kiowa and Kentucky. Those all have to be approved. Different states handle it different timelines. These all have to be approved at different times. So these three that we're coming up, we've got one between Kiowa, DOT, and TTA. Second one we've got between Kiowa, KYTC, which is Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, and the City of Ashland. So same idea, this is just between Kiowa and the Kentucky agencies. And then the third one we've got MOU between Kiowa and the Ohio agencies, so between Kiowa, Ohio Department of Transportation, and Lawrence County Transportation. In your nighttime reading, if you guys want to peruse this and have any questions, we're certainly happy to answer any questions that you may have.
And I'll butt in to say, I'm sure you all remember approving the safety transportation measures just a short time ago. These MOUs are in direct reference to those. There's a requirement in the federal regulations that there has to be a planning agreement of some sort to deal with transportation measures and how everybody is going to interact, and so that's what these MOUs are for, is for all the various states and agencies and how they're going to consult and work together to make sure that the transportation performance measures are being handled.
Motion to adopt those three items. Second. Three items. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Number 12, federal, state, local update, federal highway administration. Chandra?
We were just consulting. We don't really have a whole heck of a lot right now to talk about. We'll be having some guidance coming through about air quality information soon, but we're still waiting on information from headquarters to really move forward with that. So on that, we don't have a whole lot to say.
Yeah. Everything's moving forward with performance management. This is a big deadline coming up in May that you guys are easily passing. So the next big date is November. So,
moving right along, doing great.
Tri-State Airport Project, Brent Brown.
Good afternoon, everyone. So the current project that we have going right now is our ADA compliance project, which is the elevator that goes from the parking lot to the terminal level. If you haven't been up there lately, there's a very noticeable elevator shaft building now in place. The shaft is there, and now they're just starting work on the exterior portion of the building. So it's moving right along. It was originally scheduled to be finished end of August, early September, but because of all the rain we've had, they've had quite a few delays, but it's looking more like mid-September now. So, but it's looking good so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent.
And I'll mention briefly, Mr. Chairman, the elevator project at the airport, when we had the ribbon cutting for that, that will be the first successful construction project using Tioga sub-allocated funds. So we're as anxious for that as we're at the airport.
Okay. Yeah, if you ever tug a suitcase up those steps, you'll know what to do for the elevator in.
That's a wheelchair trying to go back around.
Morgan Grenham County Projects and KYTC Central Update. Joe Callahan's going to hell all.
Well, we do have a new highway plan that's been enacted. It's an $8.5 billion plan that covers a period of 6 years. And, of course, we used the SHIFT initiative to create a data-driven process to develop the projects that go into the highway plan. And that was, I think, a pretty successful process, and we'll probably have some tweaking. But the thing is that this highway plan, we really put a focus, an increased focus on bridge rehabilitation, and just more of a focus than our bridges. So out of that $8.5 billion, over $1 billion goes toward improving the bridges. So we didn't really pick up as many highway projects through the SHIFT process as we normally would if we hadn't had this focus on bridges. So there are a lot of bridges. And I do, in your packet here, you do have a project update for Boyd and Grenham County. So I'll just go over some of the highlights here. I'll start with Boyd County, 9-8400. That's the US 60 rehabilitation between Colton and Cannonsburg. We do have right-of-way progressing there, and we're still shooting for January of next year letting for this project. Boyd County, 9-8801. That's safety upgrades and turn lane construction at US 23 at 12th Street. That's near the Marathon Marine area. That's already been let the contract, and work should start there May 25th. We're scheduled there. And the next four projects kind of illustrate the air focus on bridges. All four of those projects are bridge projects. The first one is the 12th Street Bridge, and the biggest part of that project is an overlay. We hope to start, we're scheduled for a June letting with the November 15th completion date. So that's going to have a big impact in the national market. Going to shift over to the 13th Street Bridge. So it's going to be a two-way bridge at that point. So just heads up on that. 9-10015, that's the Canova Bridge, or the one in Cappensburg to Canova on US 60. That's a bridge painting project mainly. What that is. There's some other work going on, but the bulk of the project there is being painted. Now, that's 10,016. That's the two bridges at the Kentucky West Virginia State Line on 64. That's laid by WB, the DOT, West Virginia DOT. But this is our contribution to that project. We have a joint agreement with them. And the last one's 10,018. That's a bridge on the Kentucky 854 over Garner Creek there. So, and all the funding sources and dates and amounts are from our new highway plan. If you want to flip it over, I'll talk a little bit about the Grenham County projects. The first one, 9-1073, is the Russell Viaduct Bridge project. And we're still working through right-of-way and utilities, and we're still hope to lay that project this July. So it's a big project for that area, for Russell. Now, next 1094, that's a bridge over Pond Run on Williams Avenue. That money's been moved from the out years to the biennium, which means that we will be addressing that. And we have a contract with a general engineering consultant for a lot of our bridges. And they're going to be taking over this project here. We need some work soon with that. The design phase hasn't started yet, but hopefully it will soon. 9-8509, that's a Kentucky 207 connector road from Flatwoods to the Industrial Parkway. Money's in the out years, but we are still trying to do some more design work and working to complete our environmental document there. 9-132 is Kentucky 2 reconstruction. We may do some more design work there, but as you can see, the money there is in the out years, so we won't be doing anything anytime soon there. And just like Boyd County, the next four projects are bridge projects, and you can look at those there. We are doing some highway safety improvement program projects at three intersections in Greensboro. One of them is at Kentucky 693 Beaver Boulevard and US 23 in Russell. The other one is US 23 between the two Ashland bridges there. And also 12th Street at Martin Luther King. And that work's going on there right now. And we also have some terminating projects going on in US 60 between the interstate and Ashland. And that project should start May 15th.
A whole lot going on. Do I have a question for you? Go ahead.
Thank you.
And question of DOT and D-Wage update, Chris Kinsey.
Thank you. First off, we have build grants that are coming our way. We're applying for build grants, not that we've gotten any. So if you don't know what those are, I'm fairly new at this too. They are the replacement of Tiger grants, if you're familiar with those, which are just transportation grants that we can use. But they are able to award up to $25 million, and they have a minimum of $1 million settlement. So we're going to be working with Salim and Chris and some of the local municipalities and some of the rural folks to try to find some candidate projects. There are some stipulations to those. I think that we are not allowed to use build grants on any Road to Prosperity or GEO-funded projects, at least for the fiscal year, the current fiscal year. So be thinking about any prospective projects that you might want to be suggested to us in those. Also, the Roads to Prosperity are getting underway. I'm sure you've seen a lot of the orange barrels already. Unfortunately, driving back from the TAC meeting on Tuesday, and on 64, we had our first fatal leading up to that big work zone, the interstate reconstruction. So if you serve in a public platform, just kind of be mindful of getting the word out, I guess, to all of your folks and making sure that you're paying attention when you're driving through work zones and you're not texting and driving and speeding and just kind of expect delays. But outside of that, you'll probably be seeing a lot more road work started now through the duration of the construction season. That's pretty much it on our end. Thanks, guys.
Do you have any information on the position of Route 152 from Canova to Pritchard is in the plan that was a priority on the bond issue? Is there a timetable?
I can certainly check on it. I know the applications, I think, are due, July 9th or 19th, maybe. Chandra, you might be able to answer that. When are the applications? Was it the
19th?
July 19th, okay. So I could definitely check on it. What was the name of it?
It's US 52. It's from You know, with Pritchard. They call it intermodal.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, we'll have to check and see if it's slated to be funded with current fiscal year funds. But if it's, you know, a year or two out, then we may be able to include that in and get some grant money for it.
Is that a project for US-52? More like for grant.
Okay.
Project. For the possible three.
Any old or unfinished business to come before us today? If 14, new business. Chris mentioned the 50-year anniversary celebration sometime this summer. We will get that information out. And our next regularly scheduled meeting will be September 21st, 2018, on Friday.
So we got you out here in about an hour and 10 minutes. If anybody wants to stick around afterwards and talk about some of these unallocated funds projects, there's some really great projects in here we're really excited about. So if you want some more information or you want to kick around some ideas about potential projects, we're excited about these projects and we want to fund more and better projects. So please come to us.
Anything else coming for us today? If not, I'll declare this meeting adjourned. Thanks for attending and thanks for those on the phone. We appreciate it. And 3 o'clock tea time was really too late.